Thinking about faith, but when I first read through the fruits of the Spirit, and when I first thought about the word faith, and then looked at other translations, and many other translations use the word faithfulness instead of faith, I would often in my mind put them in two different categories, like faith as, you know, belief or trusting in something, like faith in the rope, or faith in the steps in the silo, or faith in God, believing. And yet that word faithfulness, as many translations use, is very closely connected to that word faith, even though I often thought about them very separately. Faithfulness, and I'll explore that here soon, the difference or the connection between faith and faithfulness. So this morning, the title of the message is Bearing the Fruit of Faithfulness. And I'd like to look at four points I'd like to explore this morning. So the first one is faith defined. We could talk about the definitions of faith or various angles of that, and I plan to look at that some. And then secondly, I want to explore God's faithfulness to us. And we sang those songs this morning. We sang about God's faithfulness, being able to trust in God. And then thirdly, I'd like to look at examples of faithfulness. And then fourthly, our faithfulness to God. So I'd like to look at them in this order. And we're not going to explore every single verse in Scripture that talks about faith, or we'd be here for a long time. So it won't be an exhaustive look at faith, but hope to give a clearer picture and encourage us to live a life of faithfulness. So moving to the first point, thinking about faith defined, or what is faith? If I would open it up, I don't know what all answers you would give to what is faith? How is faith expressed? So the primary Greek word for faith, pistis, is from my understanding, which means belief, trust, reliance on God for salvation, thinking about a biblical view of faith or a biblical definition of faith. So that word, the Greek word, signifies a deep conviction and an active reliance going beyond mere intellectual agreement to a trusting commitment. So in other words, a biblical faith is not just belief in God, saying, oh, I believe in God, but it is expressed by faithful obedience to following God's ways. And a simple definition by Billy Graham, he says this: faith simply means believing that something is true and then committing our lives to it. So we could also say faith has two parts to it, and both are equally important. The first part is belief, a belief that God exists and that he loves us and that he sent his son into the world, provided a way of salvation. But faith isn't a vague hope that God might exist. It is a definite belief that what the Bible says about him is true. And there's a verse in Hebrews 11 that says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we'll look at that verse later on as well. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the second part of faith is commitment, a definite decision not only to believe in our minds that Christ can save us, but to put our lives into his hands and to trust him alone for our salvation. True faith not only believes Christ can save us, but actually trusts him to do the work in saving us. Maybe a little example of this or an illustration. How many of you, before you sat down on the bench this morning, hesitated to sit down because of, you know, did you question if the bench would hold you? We put faith in a lot of things without really even thinking about it. Those of you who drove this morning, got in your vehicle, well, with a cold morning like this, and, you know, the vehicles are tested, the battery life, how good the battery is. But you probably hopped in the vehicle believing in faith that your vehicle would take you here. You probably sat on the bench this morning believing that it would hold you. You expressed your faith in the bench by sitting on it. So thinking a little bit more at difference between faith and faithfulness. There's some differences and yet connections between the two words. So faith is the internal belief or trust and conviction in something like God's promises or a person's character, while faithfulness is the outward action, consistent loyalty and obedient behavior that flows from that inner faith, demonstrating it through diligence and commitment in relationships and duties. So you could also say faith is the root or the why, and faithfulness is the fruit, the how. Belief without action isn't truly faith. And being faithful requires ongoing trust and action, even when things are hard. And I came across this as I studied, and I really liked it. Faithfulness is long obedience in the right direction. Faithfulness is long obedience in the right direction, continuing to do the right thing. And sometimes as we go throughout life, our faith is tested. When things don't unfold like we dreamed, like we would hope, when finances don't come as we hope they would, those are tests that come and test whether we truly have faith in God, whether we will continue to trust Him. And just like Charles Blondin, when he asked the question, who will come in the wheelbarrow, it really tested their faith if they really believed that he could push someone across the rope in the wheelbarrow. So this morning, I want us to walk in the Spirit so that we can bear the fruit of faithfulness. And if we would read the verses in Galatians, Paul is encouraging people to, he says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we can't bear the fruits of the Spirit. We can't have the fruits of the Spirit flowing from our lives unless we are living in the Spirit. We're allowing Christ to work in us. So Christ, yes, we take the step in faith. We put our belief in Him. But as we continue to walk in Him, we can show or bear the fruit of faithfulness. So that's a little bit at faith defined, and we'll move to the second point here in God's faithfulness to us. There are many scripture verses I could put up here talking about God's faithfulness, and I have a few that I'd like to go through fairly quickly. So thinking about God's faithfulness to us, we know that God's faithfulness is everlasting. There's a verse in Psalm 119:90 says this, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So God's faithfulness wasn't just back for His chosen people, the Israelites, but God's faithfulness continues to extend, or has extended throughout history, and continues to extend to us today. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. He's faithful to all generations. God keeps us from evil. Verse from Thessalonians says this, Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So thinking about God's faithfulness to us, His faithfulness is everlasting, and His faithfulness keeps us from evil. Another one, God limits our temptations. Verse from Corinthians, and I think I shared this in the last message too, but I wanted to highlight something else in this message. This verse, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Some people say, or I've heard people say, well, God will not give you anything that you can't handle. And I've heard people argue that and say, yes, God does give us more than we can handle. But with God's help, we can make it through. With God's Spirit abiding in us, we can experience, or we can be faithful in all temptations. So maybe on our own strength, God gives us more than we're able to make it through. But with his Spirit abiding in us, God will give us the grace. God is faithful. He will provide a way of escape. God forgives our sin. And I realize these things aren't new to us, but I just am, again, highlighting verses that talk about God's faithfulness in these things. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us some of our sins. No, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. It's contingent on our confession. Are we willing to confess? If we're willing to confess our sins, God is faithful. Faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God sanctifies us. God doesn't just cleanse us from the sin, but he also continues to work in our life. 1 Corinthians says this, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God continues to work in our lives. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So God desires to continue to work in our lives. And if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, Paul tells us we're to put off the works of the flesh and to put on Jesus Christ, to bear the fruits of the Spirit. That can happen as we continue walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit. God will be faithful to continue to sanctify us, to continue to cleanse us from those things that we need to put off and to put on what Christ desires. God is faithful. Another one, God keeps his promises. A verse from Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So God doesn't promise something and not keep his promise. God is, his promises are everlasting. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, I'd like to read a few verses there, and then I'll plan to read a couple verses in Hebrews 11 here in this next point. But Hebrews chapter 11, we know of the chapter, the faith chapter, the heroes of faith. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, I'd like to read those verses, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. So as we think about God's faithfulness, God calls us to, well, I'll start reading here in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke or to stir each other unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I want to encourage us to live a faithful life. And we can be encouraged as we live with others who are pursuing or going the same direction that we are in pursuing faithfulness, striving to live a faithful life. So as we come together, we can encourage each other in this. And we can be encouraged by God's faithfulness to us. And we can also be encouraged by the examples of faithfulness of others. And that's the next point that we'll look at. Examples of faithfulness. So if you're in your Bibles to, if your Bibles are open to Hebrews 10 and 11, I'd like to read a few verses here. I'm encouraged when I look at faithful people who have gone on before. And if you read Hebrews 11, it should encourage us. The heroes of faith that continued faithfully to the end, even in spite of the difficulties they faced. I'd like to read the first three verses in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now jump to verse 13 yet. So he gives a list of names here of here the people who lived in faith. Then verse 13 says this, "And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I believe these heroes of faith that are listed went through times in life where they were tested. And can we say tested to see if they would stay in the wheelbarrow, if you want to use that example? They faced hard things and maybe were tempted at times to give up, but they continued on in faith because they believed the promises. They believed that God was faithful. And by believing those promises, they were encouraged to endure to the end. Even though they didn't see the promises all fulfilled, they continued to live on in faith. And just to put a few of these characters up here, so I'm going to list a few of these names that are mentioned specifically here in Hebrews 11. And if we can think for just a brief moment, Noah, and God tells him to do something that didn't even seem practical at the time. When God told Noah to build an ark because he was going to send a flood, you know, at this time it had never rained. And likely that Noah received a lot of criticism from the people around him. But Noah continued. Was it 120 years that it took him to build the ark, if I remember correctly? A very, very long time of faithfully acting or living, believing in faith of God's promises and acting accordingly, living a faithful life, continued building day after day, year after year, in spite of all the pushback or all the criticism, because he believed the promises of God. He believed that God was faithful. Noah should encourage us to live a faithful life in spite of opposition. Abraham. So God called Abraham to do several things that didn't really make sense at the time. God came and spoke directly with Abraham and told Abraham to get up and to move to another area. And God didn't tell Abraham exactly all the places he would call him and all the things that God would call him to do. But Abraham, in faith, packed his belongings and started moving to an area where he didn't even know where he was going to end up. Later, God tested Abraham by calling him to offer his son Isaac. Abraham didn't know the outcome of that. It had to be extremely difficult, but Abraham believed in faith and he acted accordingly. He lived a faithful life. Sarah believed God's promises that she would have a child in her older age. Now, we can read in the account, I believe it's in Genesis, where when Sarah first heard about this, she laughed. Maybe she didn't believe right away. But somewhere it changed. And the beautiful thing about these heroes of faith, too, is they were not perfect people. We can read the accounts in the Old Testament, more detailed accounts of their lives. And I believe every one we can see areas where they did not live, or most of these anyway, we can see read areas where they didn't live perfectly, but they continued to live a faithful life. They confessed their sin and chose to live a faithful life. So somewhere, Sarah did believe that God was able to give her a child in her older age, because her name is mentioned here in Hebrews 11. Moses, profound verse here in Hebrews 11, in verse 25. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. This verse should encourage us in the times of temptation. When we feel the strong temptation to yield to sin or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, we can remember Moses and the example that he left for us. And he lived a faithful life in spite of all the temptation in front of his eyes. Moses could have lived a much easier life had he chose to stay in Egypt or live with the Egyptians. But Moses knew that God had something else for him to do, and he acted in faith. wasn't very willing when God first called him, but God continued to work in his life. And Moses was, the Bible says, the meekest man upon the face of the earth or something like that. Moses was faithful. And then Rahab. She's mentioned here in the Heroes of Faith. Rahab hid the spies from the enemies. Rahab acted in faith. She chose to believe in the God of the Israelites, and her life was saved because of that. So she acted in faith. So these people should encourage us to live a faithful life. I don't know what all temptations you find or you face as you go throughout your life, but temptations are very real and very strong. And I don't know how much Satan knows about our weaknesses or out of the temptations we face. I think he does know at least an element of that, and he tries to maybe attack us in our weakest moments. But those who lived or left a beautiful example of faithfulness should encourage us to continue on, and in spite of the temptations that we face. So these people, because of their faith in God, it produced faithful living. And I want to connect those two words. Faith in God produces faithful living. And I believe, because of their faithfulness that these heroes of faith lived out, one day heard the words of their Creator, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I think as a believer, for every believer, I think one of the greatest rewards that we can experience will be something along the lines of, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words won't be spoken, unfortunately, to a lot of people, those who give up and who do not live faithfully to the end. They will not hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I'm encouraged by these examples of faithfulness. But something else that I'm encouraged by people who are living today, who are living faithful lives. And you all can be an encouragement to others. I don't think we ever really realize how many people are observing our life. And our life, our faithfulness can make a difference in other people's lives. As I am getting older, I continue to appreciate the faithfulness of older people more and more. As I observe people who have weathered tests, who have weathered trials, and persevered faithfully through them, are a big encouragement to me. And as I observe the faithfulness of many who are living today, it is an encouragement to me. And I want us to not only be encouraged by others, but think about the encouragement that we can be to those watching as we live a faithful life. So I want to ask us a question. How are we living our life? Are we living a faithful life? Is our faith in God producing faithful living in my life? And I want to leave that challenge with each of us, challenge to myself as well. How am I doing? Is my faith in God producing faithful living? So I'm going to move to the last point here, our faithfulness to God, our response. So we saw that God is faithful. God will forgive sin. God will continue working in our lives. God will keep his promises. So God is faithful. We can be encouraged by the faithfulness of others. And what is our response? Are we going to be faithful or live faithfully? So our faithfulness to God. There's a verse in Proverbs 20, verse 6 that says this. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? That verse really stuck out to me a few weeks ago when I had read it somewhere. It may have been in my personal devotions. And I was thinking about this upcoming message. We can proclaim our own goodness, but this question here, but a faithful man who can find, making it sound like faithful people are a rare thing. And as we look at, or as we observe society at large, we see a lot of unfaithful living. And God is calling us to live a faithful life. And a picture that I want to put up here is, I don't know how well you can see that, but it's a fish that is swimming against the current. And there's, some of these fish are incredible, especially salmon, how they will swim miles upstream to go spawn, to lay their eggs. They fight against the current. It's not an easy swim, and some die in the process. Some never make it to their intended destination. And I would encourage us, if we are going to live a faithful life in this society that we're living in, we're going to have to go against the current. We're going to have to swim against the current, if you will. And I want us to think about that. How is our life in comparison to those that we maybe rub shoulders with? Is there a difference between our life and the unbeliever? And I trust there is. But I want us to think about that as we look at a few of these. I want to offer a few practical points here. But it takes going against the flow, going against the current. So faithfulness, again, thinking about faithfulness, is long obedience in the right direction. It's going against the current. It's not always easy. And living a faithful life to God can't be done on our own strength. Again, thinking about walking in the Spirit so that we can bear the fruit of faithfulness. We need to be in tune with God, walking in Him. We need God's help to live a faithful life. So God gives us the invitation to get in the wheelbarrow, to trust Him. You know, Charles, he was human. There was no guarantee that he was going to make it across to the other side. He could have fell. And I researched a little bit about him. As far as I know, well, from what I've researched, I don't know that he ever fell. At least he didn't die from falling. There was one incident where one of the ropes tore, and I think two of the people that were helping in the process died. But Charles, he did not die from all the risk that he took. But God is not fallible. God won't let us down. God is faithful. So a few things I want to look at here, and towards the end of the message here, is what a faithful person does. So a faithful person, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. A faithful person believes God's promises. That verse in Hebrews, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if we're going to live a faithful life, a key part of that is believing God's promises. A faithful person obeys Christ's commands. Verse in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We cannot live a faithful life if we're not willing to obey Christ's teachings, to keep His commandments. It's not that we do this perfectly, but we strive to live an obedient life. A faithful person lives honestly. Proverbs 10:9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. We need to be men and women who speak the truth, who live honest lives. And we're coming up here to tax season, and there's many people that, well, maybe we are tempted to cheat on our taxes, to get away with something. Now, I try to save on taxes where I can, but I don't want to be cheating and to be dishonest in doing my taxes. I want to do the right thing. And sometimes it's hard to always do the right thing. A faithful person seeks to do the right thing, even in little things. So sometimes we might think of faithfulness as doing these great things, these big things. But if we want to live a faithful life, it needs to start with even the small things. Just a quick story. A few weeks ago, Kyler and I were at Tractor Supply, and I bought some animal feed, and we got out to the vehicle. We were loading the bags in the vehicle, and I think it was Kyler that brought it to my attention. He's like, "How many bags did we pay for?" And we looked, and I'm like, "Okay, we have one bag here that we did not pay for." It was not, we had left them on the cart, and they were scanned, and the one bag was just buried underneath, and it was missed. And it would have been a little tempting to save, you know, $15. You know, hey, I could have justified it and said, well, it was their fault. Like, I wasn't trying to get away with it. So, hey, my lucky day. I got a free bag of feed. But no, we need to be honest even in the small things to do the right thing. And I don't always, there's been times where I've failed at this. But the right thing to do in that situation is go back and make it right. And we went back into the store, and I explained the situation, and I don't remember the exact words, but they commended me for being honest. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back, but faithfulness also encourages others. When you observe the faithfulness in other people, it's an encouragement to continue to do the right thing, even in the small things. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, but he that is unjust in the least is also unjust, or is unjust also in much. So I want to encourage us to be faithful even in the little things. A faithful person bounces their eyes, and I'm going to just explain this quickly. There's many things in a society that we live in where there's things that our eyes see, whether it's on our phone, whether it's out in society, that are not appropriate for someone who is striving to live faithfully. It's not appropriate to dwell on. And we need to bounce our eyes. We need to look at something else, whether it's something that's impure, immodest, whether it's something that's just evil. We need to train our eyes to bounce or to turn from the evil and to be intentional what we're viewing. Even when we're alone, and for those of you who have phones, we need to train ourselves to bounce our eyes. We need to think about things that are pure, things that are right. We need to be careful what we're viewing. And Matt, I appreciate your devotional as well. You talked about that, being careful what we are taking in. Psalm 101:3. I love this verse from David. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A faithful person guards their heart. There's a verse from Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to be careful what we are putting in our heart. There's a verse in Romans I'll read here quickly, but a beautiful verse that I heard someone else say recently in regarding to living in purity. He said this, he quoted from Romans, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now these are hard. It's hard to always do this because we have the desires that come within, the evil desires and Satan tempting us. But Paul tells us to make no provision for the flesh. And a faithful person keeps promises. And we can spend a lot of time looking at promises that we made. For every Christian, if you went through baptism, you've likely vowed, you've said some vows, you vowed to God that you would strive to live a faithful life. I'm paraphrasing, putting my own words. We promise to live faithfully in the church body that we're part of. We made commitments. A faithful person strives to keep promises. For those of you who are married, you made promises to your spouse that you would keep yourself only for your spouse. A faithful person strives to keep promises. We don't always do this perfectly, but we strive to keep our promises. Verse from Matthew, but let your communication be yea, yea, or yes, yes, and no, no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We should be men and women who speak truth, who keep our promises. And then a faithful person confesses their sin. And again, thinking about those heroes of faith that we looked at, David is also mentioned in the heroes of faith. And we know that Those people did not live perfectly. But the reason they're listed in the heroes of faith, I would say, is because they were willing to confess their sin when they have failed. And David's confession is recorded in Scripture, a beautiful confession of pouring out his heart to God in repentance and turning from their sin. And a faithful person will confess their sin. And we have many people. I think of recently, I've heard of several leaders, prominent Christian leaders who were exposed. Their sin was exposed. Some of their sin was exposed after they died, and others confessed their sin before they died. And it is so sad when sin is exposed after someone already passes, when they were not willing to confess it. And if someone dies with their sin, they will not hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So a faithful person, a person who is going to continue to live faithfully, will see the need to confess when confession is needed. So, in conclusion, when I think about bearing the fruit of faithfulness. So, I found this picture about getting in the wheelbarrow. I believe there's many people here this morning that are already in the wheelbarrow, so to speak, that are trusting God, that have their faith in God. So I'd like to maybe reword that and say, I want to encourage us to continue in the wheelbarrow, because God is not fallible. God will not fall off the rope like man can. God will keep his promises. God is faithful. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through in life, when those trials come, when the temptations come, when life doesn't make sense, we can trust in God, in God's faithfulness. God keeps his promises. And we can be encouraged to stay in the wheelbarrow, even when we don't see the other side, even when it seems like the rope is going in places where we don't want it to go. God is faithful. So we looked at faith defined, how faith in God produces a faithful life. If we truly believe in God, it goes from not just a head knowledge about God, a belief in God, even the demon believes it, or demons believe and tremble, but our faith should produce faithful living. And we can see how God was faithful to us. God's faithfulness is to all generations. And then we can be encouraged by the heroes of faith, and we can be encouraged by others that we are rubbing shoulders with, who are living faithful lives. And then, what is your response? Our faithfulness to God. Are we continuing to live a faithful life? Another way of thinking about it is, I'll close here shortly, doing the next right thing again and again produces a faithful life. So as we go throughout this week, sometimes we might think like, or I can think this way, it's like, okay, it's hard to always to live faithfully. Like, I'm encouraged by the faithfulness of others, but sometimes living right is hard. But if I focus on the next thing in front of me, so if I want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if I focus on what is right before me and to live a faithful life, it starts now. It starts today. It continues in tomorrow. So it matters what I'm putting in my mind this afternoon. It matters what I'm putting in my mind tomorrow. So doing the next right thing again and again produces a faithful life. So I want us to think about that as we have those temptations come to us. When we walk in the Spirit, we can say no to the flesh, and we can do the right thing again and again and again. Not that we do it without fail, but it should encourage us that to live a faithful life, it starts right here, what's right in front of us, or right, what's right in front of me, and doing the right thing again and again. So, will you continue to walk in the Spirit so that you bear the fruit of faithfulness? And again, thinking about faithfulness is long obedience in the right direction. And I would encourage us as we go throughout this week to think about living a faithful life. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's what will happen if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit and allow Christ to continue to work in us. So thank you for your attention, and may God bless you as you continue to do the next right thing that is right in front of you so that we can live a faithful life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us and how you are a faithful God, or you were a faithful God in the past, and you continue to be a faithful God to this present day that we are in. And may each of us be encouraged to trust you because you are a faithful God. Help us to be faithful when we don't understand, maybe even what's right in front of us. We don't always understand where you're taking us.